it's so hard, my bass, I'm fun.
Read so hard, library's trying to find me. They can't identify me. Checked in with a pseudonym, so I guess you could say I'm Mark Twaining. Read so hard,
that shit cray.
That shit cray.
Ain't it, eh?
Read so hard,
what you reading?
What you reading?
D-Montaigne. Read so hard,
you use a Kindle? I carry spines, supporting bookshelves like a bra. Calvin Klein.
Hi, you're listening to Drunk Booksellers. My name is Emma.
And I'm Kim.
And we are professional booksellers.
And casual drinkers.
Nice. It's been so long.
I know. We did it. Look at that.
Today, we are recording with the roving bookstore, Itinerant Literate. It is a bookmobile in Charleston, South Carolina. And we are talking to Kristen and Julia.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
Okay. Oh, so I was going to tell you about the drinks we have. This is Kristen, by the way. So I was at our local coffee shop this morning, and this is a coffee shop that we frequent a lot and that we actually park at a lot. We park the bookmobile a lot. It's called Orange Spot. And I was mentioning to them, we're talking with these awesome folks on this bookseller podcast, and it's called Drunk Booksellers. I'm really excited. And then I had to go back later, and the owner's husband was working behind the counter, and he just comes up to me and he says, "Kristen, are you getting drunk tonight?" And I was like, "Oh, okay. I forgot that you could possibly know this. Yes. Yes, I am." And then he started pointing to the cans of beer that they carry, and if I liked any of them or if Julia liked any of them, he just handed them to me.
Aw, that's nice. That's amazing.
It was very nice. It was very nice. And then we have a cocktail. Julia, you want to tell them about the cocktail?
Yeah, the cocktail is called The Lime of the Ancient Mariner, which is from that book, Tequila Mockingbird, which came out many years ago, I think, and I just eternally keep at my bar cart.
I just want to go ahead and give her a little shout out, because she has this adorable bar cart that she made out of a wire rack, spray painted gold, with these wonderful S-hooks for these beautiful Moscow Mule glasses. Nice. It is three-tiered. It has a mirrored top. It's great.
So this is why you're at Julia's house right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Because the bar cart.
Yeah. My liquor cabinet is A, empty, and B, just a very boring cabinet.
Yeah. But the cocktail is just lime and gin and grapefruit juice. I added some bitters because the grapefruit juice is actually grapefruit juice cocktail.
Yeah. It's Welch's. Yeah. I didn't have time to go to the grocery store today, so I went to the gas station.
All right. Well, before we get too deep into bookmobile talk, what are y'all currently reading? Who wants to go first?
So this is Kristen, and right now I'm reading a number of things. I'm not terribly far into any of them, but for myself, I am reading Warstorm by Victoria Aveyard. I am deeply obsessed with this series. I love it so much, so much. I could wax poetic around it for a long time. And then I still haven't finished I'll Be Gone in the Dark by Michelle McNamara, kind of on purpose, because I really love it and I want to make it last. From a sheer writing perspective, it is one of the absolute most masterful pieces of true crime for sure, but narrative nonfiction that I've read in an unbelievably long time. Mm-hmm. The last time that I read something that was this, that made that I got these same feelings and where I just sat in the sentences was probably Slouching Towards Bethlehem like a decade ago.
Yeah.
And I still kind of remember lines from that. So it's remarkable. It's fascinating. It's terrifying. I think it's perfect. Yeah. I emailed all my professor friends and was like, who teach writing in particular. And I was like, you need to teach this.
Wow.
I don't care that it's about a murder. You need to teach this. They're like, cool. Thanks. That sounds good.
I always listen to an audiobook, and then I have several that I'm reading. So the audiobook I'm listening to right now is Girl in Snow by Danya Kupa. I can't say it.
Kukafka. I'm going with that.
Yeah. And then I'm trying to read more nonfiction this year and more middle grade. So in that vein, I am reading How to Change Your Mind by Michael Pollan that just came out.
How are you liking it?
I like it. I like his books in general. And I'm not that far into it. I'm like 100 some pages in. And he has already tried the mushrooms, and had his like first experience. But, so it's interesting. I'm cause he's also like interweaving the history of psychedelics in it. So that's fascinating. I'm excited to see where this journey is going.
This trip, if you will.
Exactly. Good one.
And then I'm reading for our book club next month. We're doing a memoir called Monsoon Mansion by Sinel Barnes. And then for just pure myself, I'm reading Daphne. Oh, shoot. The guy's name is Will something.
Oh.
Will Boast. It's like a retelling of the Daphne and myth about the nymph who turns into a tree. It's really cool. I mean, I'm also not very far into it, but the girl has some rare disease where if any emotion she feels, it will make her paralyzed.
Wow.
So yeah, like any kind of emotion, surprise or sadness or happiness, she just like freezes. And depending on how like intense the emotion is how much she gets paralyzed.
All right, Kim, what are you reading?
Oh boy. I feel like I've been reading so many things since we last recorded that I want to talk about. I am currently listening to, I also am always listening to one thing and reading others in print. So I'm currently listening to Killers of the Flower Moon.
Oh, I love that book.
Just came out in paperback. It is a true crime narrative about this rich native tribe called the Osage, who, after being shunted off their actual land, ended up on top of a bunch of very oil-rich lands. And so they became, like, the most prosperous, like, per capita, like, in the country. It's just nuts. Anyway, and then they mysteriously started being killed off.
Weird.
And so it's a really interesting intersection of Native American, like, prejudice and, like, you know, the struggles they're going through to, like, keep land and, like, be able to, like, actually live life, with also this, like, kind of true crimey thing that ended up, like, Hoover ended up actually making the FBI because of, like, stuff that was going on during this time. So it's really fascinating. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm listening to that right now, which is awesome. I'm currently reading a book that has not come out yet, Thomas Page McBee. Who wrote this incredible book called Man Alive, that was published by City Lights a few years back, has a new book coming out from Scribner, so Simon & Schuster, called Amateur. And he's a trans man who, Man Alive was like about his kind of his coming out and his transition, and Amateur, he decides to enter into a boxing competition, so like kind of the most intense form of hypermasculinity. And, you know, but he's coming from it from a trans man's perspective. And so it's this really incredible balancing act between, like, him having, like, taken on, like, this masculine role and also him seeing it from a lens that many men in that similar position don't understand. So it's really fucking cool. It comes out in August, so sorry, everybody. but it'll be worth it when it comes out. So, Emma, what are you reading right now?
I also generally listen to audiobooks while reading a bunch of other books, and I just finished reading or listening to Circe by Madeline Miller.
Oh, I want to read
it. I heard the audio of that is so good.
It's so good. It's probably one of my favorite audiobooks ever, and it's definitely, I think, going to be in the top five, like, best books I read in 2018. It is about Circe, who you might know from the Odyssey myth. I've never read the Odyssey, so I had no context for her whatsoever.
Wait, yeah, right?
Did you go to liberal arts school or not? Come on, man.
I did. I'm sorry. I'm just waiting until I can get the new translation on audio.
Touché.
I mean, to be honest, if I hadn't been absolutely forced to do it, I don't know that I would have read it.
Oh, 100% I would not have. No.
Now I really want to, because this book was so good and fascinating, and maybe I just want Madeline Miller to rewrite The Odyssey and I can read it, because her language is gorgeous. And the audiobook narrator has a voice like cream and smoke. It's just the loveliest.
The sexiest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
So I finished it because it was due back to the library, I finished it last night, and then I couldn't fall asleep, so I started it again, and it's due back to the library in, like, 20 minutes, and I'm already 30% of the way through reading it again. It was so good. It's so good. I mean, and it's, like, totally up my alley. It's about a witch and, like, a strong, independent woman. It's the best. And, like, all the bad stuff that happens, it's never, like, so terrible because she's immortal, so, like, everything that happens to her is kind of a drop in the bucket. So it was never too depressing, which I mentioned because I just, like, read three depressing books all in a row. Speaking of which, another book that I just finished is The Great Believers by Rebecca Mackay. I had to read it for book notes. I'm normally not a literary fiction person at all, and I'm starting to realize that more and more. So I did not like this book when I first started it because it's pretty slow. It's about the AIDS epidemic. It begins in 1980s Chicago, and then in alternating chapters, it talks about this guy, Yale, who's a gay man in 1980s Chicago, and then it talks about this woman, Fiona, who's in Paris in 2015 searching for her estranged daughter. And, like, both stories are interesting, and I like the characters. They're fine, but I'm like, what... Like, I understand you see Fiona a little bit in the 80s, but really, like, how does it relate? Like, what's going on here? And then in the last two chapters, she ties it all together. I'm just, like, I'm sitting on the couch and I'm sobbing because it's just, like, it's so good and so sad. I really recommend it. It's a literary fiction that I liked. Which is saying a lot for me.
Yeah, I definitely want to check that out because I'm realizing the same thing about myself. I feel like I used to read almost exclusively literary fiction and have just not been able to get into a lot of, like, with very limited exception, get into literary fiction.
They're in the past so few sad. Years. It's depressing, and there's no magic to temper it. I want, like, spaceships or dragons.
Yeah, I want something with... I feel like I have just an ounce more of life experience now, so that reading literary fiction is like, come on, man. Like,
yeah. Give me a break.
This is my life. Like, this is too on the nose. Thank you. But no thank you.
Yeah. But yeah, I think this is a really important read. I had not... I just kind of knew nothing about the beginnings of the AIDS epidemic, and it really showed me what a traumatizing catastrophe it was. And, like, it really, my favorite part was how it was kind of questioning, like, what happens to this one woman who, like, saw all of her friends and her brother die, and, like, how she's kind of a survivor, and how it has these ripple effects throughout her life, and, like, that's just one person's story. I'm gonna cry again.
That's beautiful.
It's really good. So I'm reading a bunch of other stuff, but those are the two that I wanted to talk about.
What was the title of that again?
The Great Believers by Rebecca Mackay.
Great Believers.
All right, let's talk about forthcoming books.
Assuming that everything is not an answer that is accepted.
One that I wanted to mention, and I just can't remember the name of it right now, but it's David Grann has a new book coming out.
Was that
The White Darkness?
White Darkness. What is it about? To read it, the exploration to the North Pole.
Cool.
Yeah, Henry Worsley, who British Special Forces, becomes a polar explorer, and the first man to cross Antarctica on foot.
That's a feat.
Wow.
Yeah. Fascinating.
It looks really good. I really liked Killers of the Flower Moon, so I'm excited to read another book by him.
Yeah. And that's out in October.
Yeah. October 30th.
Yep.
And then another one from our calls today that I got really excited about is My Sister the Serial Killer.
Oh, yes. God, this book. Okay, first of all, the cover is insanely beautiful. Out November 20th from Doubleday.
Yeah. So it's when Ayula calls her sister Karady to tell her she's killed her boyfriend. Karady is not shocked. She calmly gathers her cleaning supplies and rolls up her sleeves to get to work. Okay, so I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yeah, there you go.
And so then I think it's the sisters dealing with the fallout of having killed the boyfriend.
That sounds amazing.
I just downloaded that from Edelweiss.
Yeah. Doesn't it sound good?
It sounds really good.
Your searching skills are on point.
Emma, I just downloaded Cersei from Libro.fm, so we're all on point here.
Yes. That's awesome.
Any others you want to talk about?
There are a few that I'm excited about that are one we actually just received.
It's newly new.
Yeah, Cult X.
Oh yeah, that looks good.
Yeah, I skimmed it on the plane when we came back from Winter Institute, and just got like deeply obsessed with the voice, and honestly haven't revisited it since then. And then just we received the book, and it's got this beautiful die cut it's a hardcover, this beautiful die cut in the middle. It's just super cool, and the voice is great. I have discovered that I really, really like crime thrillers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really like voice-driven crime thrillers, and this one is fantastic. Nice. It's like alternate dimension. I was gonna say Haruki Murakami, but it's only because he's the, you know, the most easily saleable Japanese author,
right?
I think that we carry, at least, and that I have experience with. But there is some amount of the diction, at least, is seems similar to me. It's just really great. Really excited about it, and it's very pretty. And there's other ones, but I don't remember them from all the calls.
There's so it just many becomes calls. Kind of a whirlwind.
Yeah.
So. All right, Kim, what about you? What are you looking forward to?
A thing I just finished that just came out, so I'm going to call that a forthcoming title. Because,
newly new.
Yeah. So I just read Nicola Griffith's new book, So Lucky. Nicola Griffith is she's a Seattle-based writer who wrote a fantasy, historical fantasy novel called Hild that won, like, all the things. But she is, you know, she's won Nebula Awards, Lambda Literary Awards, she's queer, which is awesome. And she just came out with a short, like, almost novella book called So Lucky with FSG. It is a psychological thriller, I guess, about a woman who happens to be lesbian, but that's not the point, who gets diagnosed with MS. And it's incredible. Like, it was one of those books that, like, I started it one evening when I was about to go do some things, and I finished it, like, the next day because I, like, couldn't stop reading it. It's, I think, a really important contribution to disability lit, and, like, you know, hashtag own voices, because Nicola also has MS, and she's, you know, she was diagnosed, like, 20 years ago. And I went to go see her speak when she was in town.
So did I. Yeah, Kim brought me.
Yes. So Emma and I went together. Emma and I went to go see Nicholas speak when she was in town. And the intersections between queer literature and disability literature are so fascinating to me. Mm-hmm. Where, like, you know, we've finally started seeing a lot of queer narratives coming into the mainstream publishing world, but we aren't seeing disability lit from disabled authors. And this was kind of a rousing, like, call for more of that, and it was incredible.
I think publishing is, like, still generally stuck on second wave and hasn't quite reached intersectionality yet.
Yes,
unfortunately.
Yeah, and
but yeah,
you know, and a lot of times, slowly. Like, yeah, you know, most of the times when there's disabled characters in books, they're kind of a plot point for the main character, which again is how you know, queer narratives have been historically as well, and we're finally getting beyond that. And so it was just incredible, and I'm so fucking thrilled that it's out there in the world, and I'm just, like, you know, staff picking the hell out of it.
I also want to shout out that audiobook.
Oh yeah,
haven't listened to it yet, but at the reading she read passages.
Oh, she's
like, you do. Yeah. She's an amazing reader, and apparently she reads the audiobook.
Yeah,
so I'm just waiting for that to come in from the library.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and she actually, like, pitched Libro.fm over Audible during
she
her
was
reading.
A delight.
God fucking
yeah.
bless her.
If you
that's
are a bookseller
amazing.
And you're listening, you should bring in Nicola Griffith for all of your events because she is such a friend to indies.
Yeah. Right.
She started the event by telling everyone that they should buy a book. Like,
even
it didn't
if it's
matter.
Not hers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was so good. Anyway, right. So point. So I just read, you know, I read that and then, like, you know, fell even deeper in love with her, you know, upon seeing her. So that was great. And then the other thing I'm really excited about that's coming up this month that I haven't had a chance to read yet, because I'm still waiting on the galley, Amber Tamblyn has her debut novel coming out at the end of this month, at the end of June. I'll be specific.
Was her previous book a collection of short stories?
No, she's done poetry entirely.
Oh, poetry.
Yeah. It's called Any Man, and it is about a female serial rapist. So it is looking at sexual assault and sexual violence through kind of a power swapping lens. And I am so down. Emma, yes. What are you excited about that is either newly new or forthcoming?
Well, I'm so glad you asked.
I am glad I asked as well.
I have 4 books, 2 in June, 2 in July. Because I thought you might yell at me for doing anything else. Circumventing that.
I'm glad we can't be yelled at.
Never. Or you can't be yelled at, but no. Kim and I can yell at each other. So the first book is There, There by Tommy Orange. I have not read it, but I just can't stop hearing about it. And the only reason I haven't read it is because I had to read 3 other books for book notes and couldn't read that one. I think it's going to be one of the biggest books of the year. And then there's Fight No More by Lydia Millay. It's a short story collection. It seems right up my alley. Just, you know, weird, dark short stories. Really looking forward to it. And then on July 10th, 2 of my favorite books that I read this year are coming out. Spinning Silver by Naomi Novik. Yeah. As you may or may not know, she wrote Uprooted, which I loved so much that I think I read it 3 times. Spinning Silver is just as good, possibly better. It started out slower. What I loved about Uprooted was it was kind of like, at the end of every chapter, like, you thought you could catch your breath, and then you started the next chapter, and oh no, wait, you can't. It was just so fast-paced. Spinning Silver is definitely more of a slow burn, but it's also a lot more about female power. And it talks, there are a lot of different narrators, which I really enjoyed. She was quite good at that. I'll say no more. It's just really good. And if you liked Uprooted, you'll like this. The covers look very similar, but as far as I can tell, they're not related.
Wait, really?
Yes. And then the other book I read that I'm really, really, really looking forward to being out is Half Witch by John Schoffstall. Also comes out July 10th. It is coming out from Big Mouth Press, which is the kids' arm of Small Beer Press, which is Kelly Link's Small Press, for those who don't know. Half Witch is basically about a young woman whose father is a terrible wizard and has been jailed, and now she has to go, like, on a series of adventures to try and get him out of jail. It's very religiously irreverent and pretty dark for a kid's book. I'm not quite sure where we'll shelve it, but it was delightful and a really fascinating, lovely look at female friendship, and also at consent. There's a lot going on. I really recommend it. It was such a good book.
Read so hard, libraries can't find me. That shit crack. That shit crack. That shit crack.
I'm so excited to talk about a bookmobile.
Yeah, I feel like it's been a thing that I've been hearing a lot more about, and I'm thrilled to, like, peg into the details, so this will be good.
Do you refer to it as a bookmobile or a mobile bookstore or something else?
Sorry, I didn't mean to say something derogatory there.
No, it's not derogatory at all. It's not derogatory at all. If you say bookmobile, a lot of people do automatically think library,
I started describing it as a mobile bookstore for clarification, really. We still call it, among ourselves, the bookmobile.
Yeah, like, we have a website redirect that is, like, it's chsbookmobile.com.
Mm. Nice.
That's our Twitter handle. That's our Instagram handle as well. It's just, like, very easy shorthand.
Yeah.
But it does kind of carry the, these books are not for sale idea. And we also call it a pop-up bookshop.
Yeah.
Nice.
Out.
People do walk in very confused, though, and they ask us, how does this work? And we have to be like,
every single time we're
like open. If you walk into any bookstore, you just are,
or any retail operation.
To be fair, we get that at bookstores that are standing still as well.
Yeah. People are like, so is this like a, do you check the books out? And I was like, no, it's a bookstore. You buy this.
This work.
Okay, that makes me feel so much better.
Legitimately so much better.
Yeah.
Because every time we're asked it, it's like there's so it's like half like, what would you go into a deli and say, how is going on? But then the other half of you is like, oh my god, is my business model just idiotic?
Oh, sorry, my dog is whining. One second.
She's really upset about the library thing. So.
Yeah. Both dogs are looking very concerned right now because we're talking, but not to each other.
Are you crazy? Like,
yeah.
What is your bookseller origin stories?
Okay, so we both went to college in Atlanta and then went to a post-bac program at the University of Denver Publishing Institute, which is where we met. Yeah, so I moved to Charleston to work for this scrappy local publisher, The History Press. I was an acquisitions editor, and then Julia followed shortly after.
To yeah. be near you?
No.
Well, yeah, so we had met at the beginning of July.
Yeah, we were friends. We weren't texting all the time or anything like that.
No, what happened was Kristen was working there and a job in the production department came open for a copy editor, and she sent it to, I almost want to say you sent it to a small group of people from Denver first, and then you sent it to,
absolutely.
And then I followed up and was like, yeah, I'll definitely apply to this. I had at that point, it was the 105th job I applied to.
Wow.
That
Wait,
I
did
got.
You actually sorry, is that a
She
is
got
that
all
an
105
number?
Jobs.
I kept track in an Excel sheet, because I was doing so many. I had to remember which things I was applying to for when the few times I got followed up on. I mean, it was hard.
2012 was a hard time to be looking for jobs.
It's hard in publishing anyway, for a new position. You almost have to know someone, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
So I applied. I got that. I was like, oh my god, it's a real copy editing position. I thought I knew grammar, then I got there. And I was like, oh my god, I have to copy
Don't know History Press grammar.
Yeah. But it was great. It was but as soon as we moved, so Kristen was the only person I knew in Charleston at all. I'd never even visited before.
And then when she moved here, I had a friend.
Yeah.
Yay. It was great.
Yeah, and we both went to school in Atlanta, but we didn't know each other before Denver. And
she was at my husband's graduation.
Yeah. Well, we were in the same, her husband and I were in the same class, graduating class from Georgia Tech. So we graduated in the same
ceremony. Yeah, I was at your graduation. That was dedication. In retrospect, I'm like a reverse dedicated friend.
But as soon as we moved here, we started talking about, because we signed up for the, Shelf Awareness at Denver. And so we were constantly reading about all the really cool events other bookstores were putting on, and we were like not seeing those events here because there's only one independent bookstore in the Charleston County
besides us. Yeah, before we opened there was only the one independent bookseller that sold new books.
Yeah.
What bookstore is that?
Blue Bicycle. They're on King Street in downtown.
Nice.
They are the founders of Y'all Fest and Y'all West.
Okay.
But, so we just, we would meet over happy hour and be like, oh my gosh, wouldn't it be so cool if we could go to this event here? And we started keeping a list of what we thought at the time was a pipe dream of, if we had a bookstore, these would be the things that we would do with it.
Like a living Google Doc.
Yeah.
That's such a great idea.
Yeah. And then,
we need to revisit that.
I know, it's probably so funny.
And also, there are probably plenty of things that we actually could do.
So we had, some preliminary meetings with a third friend who is no longer living here, but she was weirdly instrumental in getting us started on this. It's kind of funny. But,
She was very gung-ho.
Yeah. We just decided, we came up with the mobile idea because we did not have any money.
Yeah,
basically. And we were like, we cannot afford a storefront in downtown Charleston for sure, and much less anywhere else probably. So we came up with this weird idea where maybe we could rent some UPS step truck and try a one-off event. I don't know, all evolved from there.
We got overwhelmingly positive responses at Winter Institute.
Did you have the name?
Yes. Itinerant Literate.
Yeah, we did. We brainstormed Actually, the name is a fun story. So we went away from each other after yep. spending many nights and days, similar to how we are right now, which is right next to each other, staring at a computer screen. Went away and said, okay, let's come up with some words that we think would work and speak to our business. And then we came back and had prioritized our words. And what was it like? Of our five top words each, we both had two of the same words.
Aww.
Something yeah. like that?
Something like that.
I don't know. We happened on Itinerant Literate very quickly.
Yeah, I think we both saw it and we're like, that's it. That's the name. Mm-hmm. So yeah. That was good.
I feel like I had read Housekeeping by Mary Robinson very, very...
I love that book.
God, me too. It is one of the most singularly beautiful books I've ever read. The aunt, whose name I now cannot remember, is just described as itinerant. And she's like maybe not the best role model, but she's not the worst. but also she is itinerant.
Yep.
Kind of feeling. Anyways, we named the business. We did the business. Yeah.
We came back. We bought the trailer, which we found on Craigslist. And then we started doing pop-up events just at tent tables. We did like these very teeny, teeny orders from Ingram and Baker and Taylor. Oh my gosh, getting those set up was a nightmare.
God, harried calls to our rep at Ingram being like, yo, I don't have anything. I don't know what to do. And she was like, okay, you need to get an SAN.
Yeah.
What's an SAN? Okay, go to www.valkyrie.com.
Yep. Luckily, my dad's an accountant, so we were able to be, like, legal. Mm-hmm. what else?
Eventually we decided, we started an Indiegogo campaign. Yeah. We did that.
Was the Indiegogo campaign specifically to raise money to buy the trailer?
Buy the trailer and the renovations and the opening stock.
Yeah. It was supposed to be our opening budget, and it was very ambitious. We did not meet it. That is how we became booksellers.
Sorry, yeah.
It was very much by hook or crook. We were like, we're doing this. We don't know what we're doing, but we're just going forward.
So we did it so that we could do it while still working full time, mm-hmm. and that's just kind of been the craft to design the business such that we could grow slowly to accommodate our work requirements.
Yeah.
So you're still working at the press?
No.
Mm-hmm. No. So yeah, shortly after the bookstore debuted, I guess later that year, Kristen got a new job that allowed her to work remotely. We both still work full time.
Oh yes.
But remotely. I do freelance stuff. And Kristen was doing the remote work with StoryFit.
I had to travel every month. I would go for a week out of the month, this is where we can say the thing. To Austin, which is great. I could see my family, but just wasn't really tenable anymore with the growth of the company, especially because. Oh. Should we get a drum roll? Because we're opening a storefront!
Yay! Yeah. That was gonna be one of our questions.
Yes. Oh, sorry, we dropped the ball.
Sorry.
Or we like jumped again.
Yeah, jumped again.
No. So, can you tell us about this, like, physical setup of the bookmobile?
Yeah. It is
What aspects do you want to know about?
I'm curious
how you keep the books from falling off the
shelf. That is the number one question. Sometimes we don't, as of, like, today.
I mean, okay, in a normal bookstore, that doesn't happen either. So,
yeah. No, it's true. we had shelving brackets fabricated, so they're basically iron that has been bent. That way we can also tie bungees on the ends of these.
This all came in very many iterations.
Yes.
Because we finished the bookstore for launch day at like 1 a.m. the morning mm-hmm. before we were launching it at like 8 a.m. So this is to say, for the first year, we packed and unpacked the books every time we moved. Mm-hmm. Anytime we set up, we put them in box. Anytime we set up, we took them out of boxes, put them on the shelves. Then when we left, we packed them into boxes. And for a while, we took them in and out of the trailer.
Oh, God,
we wouldn't keep them in there because we were worried about like weathering and leaks.
Yeah.
We worked on all that stuff over the course of last year, and we mm-hmm. replaced our wood on the shelves. So now we can leave the books up. Yes. And what we do is, and we have enough books now so that we
can pack them very tightly.
Pack them tightly in.
Yeah, so we have these physics caps. Working with us.
Yeah, so we basically just tightly pack the books in, so we turn back any face outs. You know, use bookends to push them in. We use the bungees as security.
Our middle grade section did not fit squarely, apparently, this last time, because I went to go get our scanner and saw that our entire middle grade section had fallen to the ground along with us. And so all of the other sections were topsy-turvy. And so there's just a pile of children's books in the back. We have this beautiful little nook in the back that's just lovely with a little wingback chair and a few little nooks of picture books. It's just delightful. Everyone comments on it, and it is now it looks like a massacre of everyone's favorite childhood characters. Terrible.
Again, here's the thing. That happens to every kids section because children exist.
Oh, well, yeah. God, when we come back to the back section after kids have been back there for an event, I'm just like, what happened?
When parents ask us, like, how do we find a picture book? Like, you ask me because, ha. Huh.
That sounds like a lot of books. How many can you say cookbooks?
Right now, actually, we do have 1,500 titles
in
there.
Wow.
I'm curious, with such a small space, how you decide what to put on the shelves.
Yeah, it's not super scientific. So we do almost exclusively front list with like very short back lists, because I guess our thought process is that we're trying to introduce people to new stuff that they haven't heard of yet. So we have like the new in paperback and then the new releases. But and some of our backlist favorites, we just don't have a deep backlist because there isn't room.
Right.
And then I don't know. I don't really know how else to say it. It's like we look for stuff that's different. Like we don't bring in some of the bigger name authors like John Grisham or James Patterson.
Just sold in mass market at Target.
Yes, exactly. Just because people can get them so many other places, and they probably are going to be able to get them from those places faster. So we try to pull in, you know, like the midlist author that is like the comp title for James Patterson, because we're trying to introduce people to new stuff. Like, oh, if you like James Patterson, well, we have a book for you. It's just not, you know, his. And sometimes it doesn't work because people really just want that one book, but a lot of times people are down to just come in and discover. So that's really who our customers have been.
Yeah.
It's very eclectic. I don't know. It's very driven by our taste plus our customers' input, I would say, at this point.
Yeah. So it's a lot of collaboration with outside sources when you're a staff of two.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Do you follow a set schedule with the bookmobile?
Yes.
Okay, that's so
cool. Yeah, we have monthly events.
Yeah, we partner with local businesses exclusively. It's not we don't just like show up on a street, which I know some bookmobiles do. I think that Parnassus does that. we by just show up on the street, like they get the permit, they get the permission. But right. we have always approached this from the fact that like we are you know, otherwise employed and have other stuff to do, and we don't have time to do everything. And so we want to leverage the audience and authority of businesses that we trust.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that we believe in, and that we think will also complement more than anything, complement what we're doing. And so we partner with them, and we have we want to make it mutually beneficial. And so we partner with them, and we do monthly events. Sometimes we're there for one day. Sometimes we're there for more than one day. Yeah, yep. Works out.
But mostly, we try to be there the same day of the month. Mm-hmm.
Consistency is key.
Month. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's mostly breweries, a few restaurants, one coffee shop.
And farmer's market.
And the farmer's market, yeah.
Are there any books that you absolutely must have in stock?
The books that we have to have in stock are for Kristen, City of Thieves.
Mm-hmm.
She sells it to so many people. Probably one of our bestsellers.
Every time I pick it up.
Anytime they're like, I don't really know what I'm looking for. She's like, well, first let me tell you about City of Thieves. And they're like, okay, well, sold. Bam. Literally. So crazy.
Cop on the Shore, I'd say, is 80% sales.
Mm-hmm.
Retention, yeah.
Then for me, I really like having Man Called Ova in it. I can sell that to most people. What else? Ella Enchanted. I always like to keep in the middle grade section.
I love that book so much.
I love it too. It's so good. In the young adult section, we always keep the Lunar Chronicles series in for me.
Sure.
I love selling Lauren Oliver's Ringer and Replica. But Replica, I find to be just one of the best YA I've read in a very, very, very long time. I love her. She's fantastic.
I haven't read any of her YA.
Okay. You need to read Replica. It came out last year, 2 years ago. It legitimately, I know I read it close to post-election, which I think no matter how you feel about the election, you can agree that it was a very tumultuous time.
Sure.
And I was feeling that tumult quite hard. And I was reading Replica, and it's a book about these two girls who are involved in a cloning experiment. The book is, what is it called, Julia, when one book it's, but they face different ways? There's a term for this.
Like a palindrome, but for a book.
Yeah, basically a palindrome for a book. So on one book you have, or on one side you have Gemma, and on the other side you have Lyra. And they're telling the same narrative time-wise, chapter by chapter, but it's flipped backwards and forwards, physically. And so you can read it either, you know, read chapter one Gemma, read chapter one Lyra, or you can read all of Gemma and then read all of Lyra and have different experiences. I read it chapter by chapter for each narrator, and it was a truly beautiful experience, and very, like, cathartic experience that I was not expecting. You just had this person experiencing the world for the first time at like around 19-ish years old, in our relatively current day.
Yeah.
And developing like very empathetic feelings. It was very, very, very beautiful and very hopeful. I loved it.
That sounds awesome. I have to pick that up.
Do it.
So for those listeners who may be in their secret hearts hoping to one day open their own bookmobile, is there any advice that you might have for them or things that you wish you'd known?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, just definitely making sure you know what your legal obligations are for each new place you open. We have to have a different business license for every municipality that we go to. One of which we almost got a $500 ticket for.
For the first 6 months, plan 2 hours more than you think you need, and solicit advice from somebody who is not in your field walk through your store and give you feedback. And if you're not somebody who's capable of taking raw feedback, you know, find an intermediary, because it's invaluable. Because otherwise you're gonna hear it from customers, and it's gonna be, you're gonna feel personally attacked, and hurt.
And but on that note, I would say don't take everything a customer says to heart.
Yes,
because that was something I feel like we learned the whole first year.
Yeah, don't do that. Engage sometimes. But you don't always have to engage.
Always. Yeah. But not always.
Sometimes, but not always.
That's a really good life advice.
Yeah. Engage sometimes,
but not always.
Take 4 deep breaths, not 2. Take 4.
Yeah.
I think ultimately what I would like people to take away is that our business is actually not that different from any retail business.
Right.
There's no panacea to being an independent retail business, but we can, I hope, learn from each other. We have learned from so many businesses, truly other businesses in this area, in the bookselling community, in the publishing community at large, have been hugely helpful and offered guidance. And I just think that it's very silly if you feel like you can't ask for guidance or help.
Yeah, it's a really lovely and loving community.
It is, yeah. That was the first thing we said when we came back from Winter City the very first time. So
yeah, absolutely. Retail hard libraries trying to find me. That shit crack. That shit crack. That
that shit crack.
Okay, so what is the book description guaranteed to get you reading?
Build us your wheelhouse.
So this is a great question, and I think it definitely differs based on genre, for sure. For me, if it is fiction, if it has witches, if it is dystopian and feminist and or misandrist in any way, an unreliable narrator, I'm into it. Also, I recently realizing that I'm really into anachronistic elements, like that could be like alternate histories if it's hinting at that, but also like very well researched historical fiction. This is really not meant to be historical fiction. And then nonfiction, I am very into, so my my day job outside, well, my bookstore job is my day job, but in addition to that, I also do product marketing and content marketing. And so I really enjoy reading about, I actually legitimately enjoy reading about that. I think it's very interesting.
What are your favorite marketing business books?
Creating a story brand. Story brand is the one that most resonated with me, and I also think is the most applicable to anybody with like myriad experiences. It takes the idea that we as humans resonate with the idea of a story. Mm-hmm. In any given interaction, you are the hero, and you are looking for somebody who is going to help you accomplish your goal. You're looking for a guide. So products and companies need to be that guide. And so you need to basically convey that you are here to help your customer, your hero. And here are the three ways you're going to do it. And I've honestly tried this in book selling, and it does work.
Interesting.
Quite frankly. It's very simple. It's super, super simple, and it translates really well graphically, too.
Just to get back to the witches for a second,
have you read
We Were Witches?
No, but it's on my list, and I'm very sad that I haven't read it.
I think you might like it. It has witches and misandry in it, so I think you might like it.
Perfect.
Right up my alley. I'm going to add it to my list right now.
Mine are retold fairy tales. Mm-hmm. 100% will read anything that has that description. And for a nonfiction, medical related.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, like sciencey stuff.
Like pop science, medical science. Like, This Is Your Brain on Parasites.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
We really need to spend like another hour just trading recommendations.
Yeah.
Those are like both of the things.
I know. Everything you guys just said was sounded like very on point for Emma. So,
Fairy tale retellings, witches, feminism.
All about it. Yeah. Well, I noticed from what you were reading and from what I was reading, I felt like there was a lot of crossover.
Yeah. I was having some major feels while you were talking.
Yeah.
All right. What about, this is kind of a three-part question. What are your Desert Island, Station 11, and Wild books? So what book would you take with you to Desert Island? What book would you carry with you after an apocalyptic event? And what book would you bring with you on an epic journey? They can be one and the same, but usually all three are different.
Oh, I've got this. I would want to do a very practical one, and then a very hopeful one for the apocalyptic event. So the first one, I could really only find one good one that I thought was worthwhile, which was Medical Plants from Peterson's. I feel like I could fashion a dwelling, but I don't know what plants might kill me, and that would be the surest way to die. And then I would want a feel-good movie. Yeah. Or not movie, book. I would also want a feel-good movie, but I would not be able to access a feel-good movie. So I have a few different options for this. I have Letters to a Young Poet, 100 Years of Solitude.
That's feel-good.
Exit West.
Okay. I was thinking that too. 100 Years of Solitude is feel-good. Yeah. It's not exactly true.
No, I do think it is feel-good because for 100 Years of Solitude,
none of these are that hopeful or like.
I find
extremely loud and incredibly.
This is about me.
That's different from what I finding beauty in and like feel good.
I find beauty. I find beauty and good feelings from all of these things. 100 Years of Solitude. You have this amazing story of this family, like, yeah, shit happens and shit's rough, but they just have this amazing connection that carries them throughout. Exit West, I also think is beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. Yes, definitely a trauma novel. So I understand anybody's hesitation with my choice of this. However, I wish I could be 9 years old and feel that way about the world, but if I was in the apocalypse, that could keep me going. History of Love, it is one of the few things that I go back and reread every so often. So, Julia, your turn.
Okay. So it's Desert Island Apocalyptic Event and Epic Journey.
Oh, I just did Apocalyptic Event. I didn't even... Yeah.
I think for Desert Island, I would want something very entertaining. So I'd probably bring a lot of my young adult standbys, yeah, particularly the Anna and the French Kiss series. That one's really fun. I would just reread that over and over again. Sometimes I do just reread that one over.
Oh, yeah. My answer was Harry Potter, which is like super basic, but whatever.
And then, okay, Apocalyptic Event. I like the idea of something practical. Yeah, but I don't know what, something hopeful or something that would like give me like a reason to keep going. Oh my God, that's like really difficult. Actually, just what came to me, maybe, I don't know if it'd be this one, but maybe something like this, the Unbearable Lightness of Being.
Yeah.
I don't know, something from an apocalyptic seeming society or someone found some truth there. That would be what I would want to bring.
I went back and forth a lot on like The Giver and Gathering Blue in particular. It might be a little too on the nose for apocalypse, but my least selling description of a Giver is it's a Handmaid's Tale for children.
That's kind of genius. No, I love that.
Which is what it is. Yeah. It's what it is. That has not worked on one person.
I love it.
And they were like, oh God, no thank you. And I was like, fair. Yeah. That's fine.
I was going to answer the Epic Journey one.
Yeah, it was, I would think that I would want
actually to get some of the nature writing, nature reading that I never get to do done, like, I don't know, Soul of an Octopus, or one of those mini, like, female resistance collections.
Yes.
That's coming out right.
Yes.
Now.
Yes! I know that I want a guidebook of how to be basically like Lady Godiva. I would like to be fierce and fearsome.
Yeah.
While naked.
Yes.
While naked.
And comfortable in it. Because I am not.
So speaking of wild naked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's talk about
nudity. What are your book confessions?
So my confession is that I actively don't finish things that I do not enjoy. I have told people this, and they have been shocked and dismayed about the fact that I don't finish things that I start.
There
but, like,
are too many good books.
There are too many fucking books, right? Like,
for you to not do that.
Thank you.
Okay, I guess my book confession. I haven't read the Philip Pullman series all the way. I didn't really like it.
So good.
I haven't read it at all.
I read the first one.
So I really want to. I want to so badly. I'm saving it for a time in my life when I'm like deeply upset and I want a full escape.
I read the first one. I didn't really like Lyra, and so I didn't care to read the rest.
So I feel like we already did the go-to Hansel with the question of like what books must you have in the bookmobile. So what about, do you have an impossible Hansel?
Selling Mother's Body, Susan Laurie Parks. It's an amazing book. It is a retelling, essentially a retelling of As I Lay Dying. But Susan Laurie Parks is primarily a playwright. She's a Black playwright. Her writing is amazing. It's just so good. If you enjoyed Jesmyn Ward's most recent book, then you will enjoy this. They feel very much analog to each other.
I tried to hand sell a lot the Curtis Sittenfield field that recently came out. I really like the retelling of Pride and Prejudice. Mm-hmm. Not that one. Yeah, could not get that one to move. Oh, and I really wanted to hand sell all the Hogarth Shakespeare retellings.
Oh, God, yeah, those don't move. Why don't they move?
I don't know, because I would pick them up in a heartbeat. But I just love that idea so much. Yeah. I want it to do better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a book that you like to champion other booksellers?
Oh, God. I guess I had some really interesting conversations with people at Winter Institute about young adult fiction, where I was like, I really like buying smart young adult. Mm-hmm. And I would say from this year, or last year really, I would champion Jane Unlimited. Mm-hmm. It's by Kristen
Cashmore.
Cashmore? I think it's Cashmore. I don't think there's a name in there. She wrote like the Raven Boys series or something like that, which was, I think, pretty popular. I didn't read that one, but this one was a one-off, and it deals with like multiverse theory. You can tell that maybe it was supposed to start, and she said that in the author's note, it was supposed to start as a choose-your-own-adventure, and it turned into this novel with five novellas within it.
Gone to court.
I just thought it was so interestingly done, and the characters are so good. And I've been trying to sell it with the umbrella book we have, because the main character, Jane, she builds umbrellas, which I think is the most interesting quirk of a character I've ever read. Yeah.
So, Kristen, did you have a business book that you think that booksellers should read? Because booksellers don't really read business books, but like we're in a business.
So
I would take it back to that book that I mentioned, Building a Story Brand. That's really only attacking marketing. But I do think it's very applicable to pretty much any business that you have, any market. Because most of the business books that I have tried to read my background is in marketing and content creation and editing. So those are the books that I'm going to gravitate towards, because that's where my skills are going to be used. And a lot of the books that exist they're not entirely applicable to retail bookselling, and Building a Story Brand really was.
I had it on hold at the library for the audio, and it took like months to come in, so it must be really popular.
Yeah, he's got a huge following.
So shout outs. What is your favorite bookstore other than your own?
Number one probably is Avid Bookshop in Athens. They have been very helpful and offer a lot of advice and lots of guidance, and their stores just kick ass. So Avid for me, and for, I think for both of us.
You said the Battery Book Exchange in Asheville.
Which one?
Battery Book Exchange in Asheville. Have you all been there? It is a super cool used
bookstore and like champagne bar.
Nice.
Yeah. It's really great. It's really cool.
It's like it's winding, and like there's one aspect of the store that has shelves around it, but then there's like a four poster king bed essentially in the middle of it that acts as a bookshelf.
Oh yeah.
But it's like it's cool. That, and then Flyleaf and Karis and Little Shop of Stories. Those are all the bookstores that I feel like I like kind of realized what independent bookstores could be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I'm sure that, oh God, Tattered Cover.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Tattered Cover.
Obviously. Julie and I met over Tattered Cover books.
Yeah.
Adorbs. Aww. What is your favorite literary media?
It's so hard to keep up with all of them. I mean, Lit Hub.
Uh-huh. Maris Kreitzman has an amazing Twitter. So follow Maris.
Mm.
She runs, for those who do not know, she runs the Book of the Month Club.
Mm-hmm.
Her Twitter is, in general, amazing, and she also has amazing recommendations.
I would feel like a fraud telling someone to follow anyone in particular, considering I can't even keep up with the ones that I actually follow right now.
No, I hate it.
But yeah, I mean, Shelfwareness and Lit Hub and those two. Those are the two that I try to keep up with, and I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like we both fail at actively keeping up with those.
Yeah.
I fully trust both of them.
Yeah.
You can only read so much.
No, you gotta put books in there.
We're only two people.
Oh, you know what I do try to read though. I guess I also get this is not it's not really book news related, but the poet.org poem of the day.
That's a good idea.
I skip the ones that are long, but the ones that are short, I'll read.
Do what you can.
Yeah.
All right. Well, where can y'all be found on the internets?
Yeah, we're on Facebook.
Yep. And Twitter.
And
Instagram.
On Twitter and Instagram, our handle is CHS Bookmobile. Mm-hmm. On Facebook, it's Itinerant Literate Books.
And Tumblr, it's itinerantliterate.tumblr.
And then our website is itinerantliteratebooks.com or chsbookmobile.com.
Mm-hmm. Retail hard libraries trying to find me. That shit crack.
That shit crack. That shit crack. Thanks so much to Julia and Kristen from Itinerant Literate for joining us on our first episode in a while. I want to take this time to apologize for the radio silence on our end. Kim and I needed to take some time off from the podcast, but we are back and more episodes posted more consistently are on the way. In the meantime, you can find us on Twitter at Drunk Bookseller and listen to old episodes on drunkbooksellers.com.
Read so hard, libraries trying to find me. I am now marking my page. Don't want a crease on my page. Don't let me forget this page. Don't let me forget this page. I am now marking my page. Don't want a crease on my page. Don't let me forget this page. Don't want to forget this page. I've got bookmarks at home, but I forgot one for the road.
I have a bookmark that I can loan.
Know how many bookmarks I own? I am now marking my page. Don't let me forget this page. Don't let me forget this page. Don't let me forget this page. Page.